Hey everyone, how we doing? Welcome to another episode of So NWA, the podcast where real stories meet real estate and everything in between. I'm your host, Juan Carlos, and of course I got my co-host here, Enrique, two local realtors here in the heart of Northwest Arkansas.
Absolutely, man. We started this podcast here because NWA isn't just where we work, it's what we call home. You know, from the trails, the town squares, there's a story behind every single corner, and we're here to tell them.
Oh, definitely. Each episode, we try to bring these stories to the mic, sit down with folks who make this region special, business owners, artists, neighbors, locals, legends, diving into their journey, their hustle, and the places they love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, man. Whether you're born here or raised or just thinking about calling Northwest Arkansas your home, we're all about showcasing the people and places that make this area one of a kind.
Yeah, yeah. You know, think of this episode or think of all the episodes of a kind of like a front porch conversation with a side of real talk. So kick back, tune in, and let's get to know the heart and soul of Northwest Arkansas one conversation at a time.
Awesome, guys. So we have a real special guest today. She's a local elementary school principal, Grace Hill Elementary, located here in Rogers, Arkansas. She has spent the last 20 years of her career in education, and Grace Hill Elementary has been named School on the Move Towards Excellence in 2020 and 2021. Everyone, please welcome Christina Meister. Thank you so much, Christina, for joining us today.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, guys. It's exciting to be here. I'm a little bit nervous. This is only my second podcast, but I am excited to be here. Love Northwest Arkansas and can't wait to share.
That's awesome. We love to get the perspective, love to hear the stories of the individuals. We love to hear their favorite places, and we love to highlight those things. So each episode is really refreshing. At least for me, and I believe for Enrique as well, real refreshing to just hear these things. It's almost like hearing and getting to know the area all over again.
Yep.
So welcome. Thank you, Christina, for your time already. We really appreciate it. You said that you've been on a podcast already, or you had, this is your second
one. This is my second one. The other one was, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, Real Talk with Jeannie Spiller. It's an education podcast, okay, really designed around the idea of inclusion,
okay,
and inclusive practice. This is for students with disabilities.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's definitely, how did that go? How did you feel?
It was good. A little bit different than this. I did it through a phone, so I never made contact with the people. Oh, okay. It was all through a phone. So yeah, this is different. I feel like we're actually, you know, sitting around a table having a conversation, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the vibe we try and go for. Normally, so for our audience, we're actually sitting in, I believe it's your office.
Yeah. Right?
We're sitting in our office here at the Grace Elementary. Usually we'll, same deal, right? We'll set a table, but it'll be at Juan Carlos's house. But we love to have it where we're just sitting here talking and enjoying the hour that we got together.
Yeah, definitely. I do think, you know, there might be a time where we will probably have to do one virtually. But I think for me, it really makes a difference when we're together. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, just physical interacting and talking, conversation, body language and everything, I think really makes it more authentic. And I think our audience can just hear that in our voices and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that really makes it fun. And then ultimately, I think that's where they will engage and everything. So
I agree.
So yeah, thank you guys. But, you know, in each episode, I always ask, how was y'all's week? So we'll start off with Enrique.
Man, week's good, man. Week's been good. It's yesterday. Was it yesterday? It was Monday or Tuesday. I met with a seller in Fayetteville.
Okay.
Looking to maybe list her home. And so that was a nice opportunity, and set up an appointment with a potential buyer, homeowner.
Cool.
For tomorrow. So week's been good, man. Working on the current file we've got. So everything is good. Family's good. Fiance's good. Life is well right now.
That's good. That's good. And Christina, how about you? How's your week been?
Had a great weekend. Okay. Normally, for the past, well, since January, we've been in travel volleyball mode. My oldest plays volleyball. And so we travel a lot all around for tournaments. And last weekend, we had a little bit of a break. So it was nice to be able to stay home, get some yard work done, relax, veg out, and watch some Netflix for a little while. So it was good just to relax, rest, take a break.
Darn, right? We didn't get to go to those games. Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. We're back at it this weekend. Okay. So we'll be in Little Rock this weekend.
Was it canceled maybe from weather or something? Or
no, we just did not have a tournament on the schedule last weekend.
Oh, okay. So we just
had a break.
Got it. Got it. I know we've, you know, right now, it is raining, and this last week or so, we've gotten a few, inches of rain. So yeah. I just thought maybe that was the case.
Yeah, they don't cancel those tournaments. You know, we have indoor sports, you go rain, shine, snow.
That's right.
Okay, that's true. Sorry.
You mentioned Netflix, so you didn't have to go out, so you're watching Netflix. What are you watching right now?
Okay, right now, I just started the series Ransom Canyon. Now, I don't know if you guys would like that. It's kind of a Virgin River style
show.
I don't know if, my husband does not watch it. It's just me. But I'm kind of hooked. I'm on, I think, episode 5.
So I looked it up, and the very first picture is of a cowboy, and he's just petting a horse.
Okay, yeah. There's some cute cowboys in there.
There you go.
There you go.
You know, I got my 2 cents on Virgin River. It started off really good, and then I feel like it just...
I did not watch the last season. I kind of got the same vibe. I got stuck, and I just couldn't finish it out. I will go back and finish it.
Yeah, my wife likes it a lot, and... You know, I thought the first season was very, how do you say it? Yes, it's like not a rom-com, it's more kind of, what would you call that?
Yeah, it kind of is.
I guess it is, but after a while, I was like, dude, there's something always going on in that town. What?
Well, like, Ransom Canyon's a little bit of the same, but, you know, different
things. Yeah.
Right now, it's new.
Is it kind of like, not like Yellowstone, is it?
No, but Yellowstone's another favorite of mine.
Oh, okay.
I did finish that.
I'm watching, my wife and I were watching completely like 180 is The Agency on Showtime.
Oh, yeah, I have not seen that.
That's what's that one about? It is, Michael Fassbender, I'll say Magneto from X-Men, the young If you know, he plays a CIA agent. So the agency is referring to the CIA, and which they're probably listening to it now that I said that, right? Mm-hmm. So he works at a station out in London, and basically it's just navigating what like a day looks like. But there's also like a love interest in it.
Uh-huh.
And then he's also navigating a big issue that's going on in the show too. Like basically one of the operatives or assets is what they would call him got caught, and they're trying to get him back because obviously it works with the CIA and spill secrets or whatever. Right. So in the show, it's like two things are going on. It's like, we're trying to get this CIA person that got caught back. And then he's also dealing with like a love interest thing, and it just really deep dives into like this whole world. And you're like, dang it. Yeah. I don't watch that before going to bed. I watch it in the middle of the night. Cause I will probably have a dream about it. I'm like, dude, the CIA is
if you like that HBO Max Lioness, haven't seen Lioness. It's excellent.
Yeah. With,
Nicole Kidman
and
I can't think of that other actress's name.
The one that was...
She's been in a lot of things.
Yeah, the Avatar, Zoe.
Yeah, yes, really good one.
Lioness, okay, cool.
The only thing I've watched on HBO Max is The Sopranos.
Bro. Okay, that's a classic.
Oh, it's a classic, right? Yeah,
you haven't seen The Penguin?
The Penguin? I have to. People are like giving an homage to The Sopranos.
It's really good, man. It's so good. You know.
For the listeners out there, The Sopranos is
OG.
About the OG from the 90s, early 2000s, about the Italian mafia in New Jersey. So, good show.
Yeah.
We won't dive too deep to it because we're a little...
We'll be in a rabbit hole forever. So, something I pulled up here in this random question generator is, what is the next thing you have on your to-buy list? So, Christina, what is on your list to buy? Yeah.
For fun or practical?
Whichever.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
So for practicality, I need a new window. Our window started leaking, you know, that hard rain that came the other day. So looking for a good window. People have had a few people out to give us some bids. So windows, not very fun. Fun things to buy, not really fun for me, but we need... Our daughter is now driving learning to drive. So the next big thing is a car.
Yeah. That's nice. We're going back to the window. It's not a seal. Like you're not supposed to.
It is a seal.
Okay.
And we have had it repaired a few times now. And I just with the number of times we've had to repair it, and it works for a while. It gets us through.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, these windows have been here since the house was built, so probably need to start making a plan.
You know what that reminds me of? The story about the leaking toilet on the second floor.
Oh, Well, I don't think you heard this. We had it happen again.
Yeah, the second week.
Second time.
Yeah, oh, second time. Yeah, the second time. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Yep. So kind of common theme here of water and getting into the house. Yeah.
So he's referring to, we had a leak at our house back. It was New Year's Eve, and our nephews, cousins, everyone over, and the kids overflowed the toilet upstairs, and it started raining downstairs.
Oops.
So we just got that fixed. And then last week, my husband and I were out eating at one of our favorite restaurants. I'll give a shout out to Blue in downtown Rogers.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah.
And we were headed home and got a phone call from our oldest crying, saying there was a hole in the ceiling downstairs and a waterfall coming down. So for the second time, we are repairing our ceiling from an upstairs plumbing situation. So our kids right now are banned from all upstairs plumbing. I'm kidding. They can use the seats and stuff, but seriously, no baths.
No baths. Got it.
Was it just due to that toilet, or is it a deeper issue?
It was them just flushing. I don't know what they'd flushed down it. Probably a lot of toilet paper and
just continued to flush
when it, beyond telling us it was clogged and needed. They needed help.
You know, it happens. It happens.
Kids,
yeah.
Right.
Enrique, how about you? What's on your to buy list?
Man, there's a lot on my list.
Something fun. What do you got?
For me, fun, probably a new graphics card for my my PC that I use for work and a little bit of gaming whenever I have some free time.
Okay.
So that, and then for, like Christina here said, for practical, I need to buy some underlayment. Next week, we're going to be putting in some LVP flooring in our property.
Yeah.
So I bought all the flooring, but I didn't buy any underlayment. So I
got
to go and buy that now.
I see. That's
cool. This is your personal home or a home
Yard? Yeah, it's a personal.
Okay.
Me and my fiance own.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I just need underlayment. Because, I mean, I could put it with just the LVP because it comes with one already on it. But just to be on the safer side.
Yeah.
Build it right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Build it right or do it right. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. Well, Carlos, what about you? What's on your list?
What's on my list? I have a list of things I probably won't get, but it's still there.
Like, you just put it in your car and it just sits there forever?
Something like that. Like, I got to somehow negotiate with the wife. Be like, hey, this
there you
is,
go.
I need this.
So we use the Amazon card at our house as hints to each other on what you can buy us for a gift if there's, like, something like Mother's Day coming up or Father's Day.
Yeah,
so
I like that idea.
I like that's a good birthday. Smart. Birthday.
Yeah, birthday.
Hey, you know, I see. So my list, I would say, what would be, I did probably on my next closing, I want to buy, so I'm a big Formula One fan, and Legos came out with basically, it's like a 2-foot Lego set of a Formula One car.
Oh, that's
cool. I mean, it's like $300. So I was thinking like, that would be,
That'd be cool.
Just to build that would be so fun.
Never too old for Legos.
No,
I don't think so.
We've had Legos out in here today.
There you go.
See,
yeah,
it's built. You know, it activates the mind.
Yeah,
I agree.
Building stuff. Practical. I like something I need soon. I need to change the brakes on my car, one of my cars. So I don't know if that's you know, kind of
your the keyless hole.
The Mercedes.
Yeah.
So in my video, when I do videos for real estate, you know, for like a property tour or something, sometimes my car will pop out in the front of the video and I'll call it my Mercedes.
But it's a Kia Soul.
It's a black Kia Soul 2016. It's a Mercedes for me.
Yeah.
It cracks up every time while you do it on the video. It just makes you laugh.
You know, it's fun. I love that car. The fact that I don't have a car payment and I just.
Yeah. That's the best thing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is it. So.
There's something about that. My husband has a truck that he's had for a while now, and I keep telling him, get a new truck. Just get a new truck because everyone, you know, it has things that go wrong with it.
Sure.
Yep.
But he is so attached to that truck. He doesn't have a car payment. He can't give it up.
It is nice to not have a car payment and just to, oh, well, it's fine. Yeah. I got a ding. You know,
that's my advice to anyone.
Yeah.
Personally, like, if you can avoid getting a car payment, I would say do that.
Yeah.
I mean, financially, that's probably a smart decision.
Yeah.
It helps a lot. Yeah, it definitely helps a lot. So, so folks, we'd love to know, Christina, where, if you're not originally from Northwest Arkansas, How did you discover or move to Northwest Arkansas?
I graduated from Oklahoma State University in Stillwater. And my husband, well, at the time he wasn't my husband, but we were dating and very serious. I mean, we knew we were going to get married. He was looking at law schools because he had just finished undergrad and was going to law school. So he ended up getting accepted at the University of Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
And so he said, well, let's just take a trip down there and like check it out and see what's going on. Meantime, my youngest sister played soccer for the University of Arkansas. So I already kind of knew the area because we would come up and go to her games and all of that. So we came up here and kind of checked out the area. And it, man, it's grown so much. It's changed so much.
Definitely.
But just I already knew I loved the area. And then he came and there's just so much outdoor stuff to do and that kind of thing. And we just landed at U of A because one, he got accepted into law school here. But second, we just fell in love with the area. It wasn't too far away from family. My sister was already here and we came here. He finished law school. So we lived here that whole time. I got a teaching job here. We had the intent of going back to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And after being here 4 or 5 years, we just decided this was home.
Yeah, just never went back.
Mm.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, when was it that you guys made that transition? What year was it? Because you mentioned it changed a lot compared to now.
Yeah, it was. So let's see, I've been in education 20 years. So it'd probably be around 20, 21 years. Yeah. This is my 21st year, actually.
Okay.
So it's like been,
04,
we moved 04, here 05, my then. First, yeah.
Something like that. That's yeah. It. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we were probably, we moved.
Well, I was in Florida at the time.
Yeah, you were in Florida. Yeah,
I was in Florida.
Yeah, I was probably probably at Elmwood at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, I just like how you said how you noticed it changed so much.
Yeah, it really has.
It's just crazy.
We lived in Fayetteville, and there wasn't a lot to do outside of like college town Fayetteville. We were young, so I would commute. I was working in Springdale at the time.
Okay.
So I'd just commute there and back, but everything we did was in Fayetteville at the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I feel I keep kind of hearing more and more, like when we had the episode, when we were recording with Kevin last week, and he was saying that, you know, he went to school at U of A and all the stuff he was doing was basically in Fayetteville. And
yeah.
Rogers and Bentonville, there wasn't too much going on, you know.
I think at first this area was mainly known, I guess, for the University of Arkansas.
Right.
Just there in Fayetteville, college town.
Yeah.
But I think now it's just
spread.
Yeah, it's just branching out. And now it's just all these five major cities are looked at as one big one, if you will.
Right. Yeah, it really is. You really can't tell where one city ends and another begins unless you're really from here and kind of know the area.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I agree. That's crazy how our area has been growing.
Yeah.
So you've been in education your 21st year. What do you enjoy the most, in your opinion, working in education with all this experience that you got?
Definitely the kids. I mean, I find my joy in the classrooms with the kids, being out at recess with them, just talking to them. You know, I had a kid in here the other day, and even when they're in trouble, sometimes just having conversations with them and just getting to know them on a personal level. And it's just, it really just, it fills my bucket every day. So it's definitely the kids.
Have you always worked with elementary school students?
Yeah, always been in elementary. So I started as a pre-K kindergarten teacher. So then made the leap to administration and assistant principal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been at elementary, pre-K-5 or K-5.
Got you.
Yeah.
I see. I forget about that sometimes you have your K through five and you have your middle school and then high school. Mm-hmm. So in this podcast, we've done an episode with Martin, which is a middle school principal.
Good guy.
Yeah. He
was my teacher, and I was a freshman in high school.
Wow.
He was my teacher.
That's kind of the connection.
I didn't know Martin was that old.
He's gonna get mad.
He's gonna hear that.
Oh man. So we had him, and then we also had another facilitator of mine, Coach Smith. He works at Elmwood now. I don't know if you're familiar with Coach Smith.
I don't think I know him.
Yeah. Is it Steven Smith?
Coach, you guys forgive me. I can't remember your first name.
Did you graduate from Heritage then, or Rogers?
I graduated from Rogers New Technology High School.
Okay.
Yeah. So all my 4 years, I went there.
Okay.
Yeah. because that's where he started first, and then he made that transition to administration also, and then he went to Heritage for a while.
Yeah,
and then now he's at Oakdale.
Yeah,
nice, good guy.
Yeah, I'm searching for a high school principal or AP here soon, so we can have all three, right?
Yeah,
elementary, middle school, and a high school. Yeah. Just kind of see what
definitely the experiences are so different.
Oh, I bet.
And it's interesting because I talked to Chip Greenwell, principal over at Heritage, this morning, and just always like finding ways to connect and partner together for so all of our schools can kind of. We're serving a lot of the same kids and families. They have siblings at all of our schools. So just the more we can partner together to serve the community, just the better things are.
Oh, I can definitely. Yeah, I can see that. How would, just curious, what would, you know, when you say partnering with with the high school, what would an event look? Are you talking about like an event or something?
Yeah, so we just did my assistant principal, Miguel, and Martine and a big crew from Heritage High School worked together on a big multicultural
night. Oh, yes.
And so we held the first one this year here at our school. So everyone from Oakdale, the high school, came over. We had kids here. We had community members here. We had food trucks. It was awesome.
Nice. That's awesome.
We and every time we do it, we just expand it. So last year was our first one at Heritage. Then we had one this fall here. And then we just had one at Heritage. With all of us. I want to say something like over 100 community vendors and stuff were represented at the event. They had performances from all different countries that are representative of our student body. That night. It was a lot of fun.
I remember I was walking the school with one of my coworkers that day, and during the event, we were just kind of checking the event and everything. And you're right. Yeah. The bunch of vendors and people, just information and just having a good time. Yeah. I think that's really important.
That's a big event. Over 100 vendors. That's
it was
huge.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
And don't quote me on the 100 vendors. Oh. I'm just like, just by glancing at it, there were a lot of people there.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Even still, like, that's to get an X amount of vendors together to a school and host an event for the kids and the community. Yeah. That's always a real huge deal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you did already share a little bit of your history with this, this area, right? You guys moved here from Stillwater, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in Fayetteville and with education, but, what was the biggest, how did you get into education?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd always, in the back of my mind, just from a young kid, wanted to be a teacher. I was the oldest of three girls. I would make them play school with me. I would always be the teacher. They were always the students. So that was always in the back of my mind. What's funny is when I enrolled in college, I decided to go into public relations.
Okay.
So I spent probably my first year and a half or so of my college career, that was the path for me, was public relations. Specifically, I wanted to go into journalism. I wanted to be out in the field, like talking to people, that kind of thing. And then, I don't know, there was just something always tugging at my heartstrings to come back to education. So I had a scholarship to continue in public relations, and I turned it down and switched my major to education. And what's funny is I probably use my public relations, like just what I've learned from that in this job, a lot more than I might have in any other role. Ooh, you know,
I can see that,
you know, just like talking to parents, talking to community members, just, you know, talking to you guys.
Yeah. I think that goes a long way, you know, kind of having that insight or having that knowledge of how to talk to different people in different stages. And you know, I think parents is obviously going to be a big one.
Yeah.
You have obviously number of parents coming into with their kids here and kind of have to gauge where they're at and vice versa to kind of just have that.
Everyone has different personalities, right?
Yeah.
I mean, something that our team leader, Francisco, and I were talking about the other day was the DISC profile. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
No.
I'll look it over quickly, but it's basically an idea of everyone's different. Mm-hmm. And so depending on where you fall on the DISC profile, you need to learn how to communicate effectively on the other side of where you're at.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of, I don't know if you've heard of the five love languages.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the way you communicate compassion towards people and how that they interpret that, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I think it's yeah.
Yeah. Just having to learn how to effectively understand and communicate with different personalities and like you said, different cultural backgrounds too.
Right. Yeah.
So just I can see how that public relations experience that you have at school is real helpful to what you're doing now as a principal here.
Yeah.
So let's see here. You mentioned you did an event. It was, how long ago was that event, Heritage?
That was back in, I want to say we just had it in March prior to spring break.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it wasn't too long
ago. So fairly recent. Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious, are you doing anything new coming up, or is the school going to do any changes or any initiatives here compared to last year or the last event?
Well, we're wrapping up this school year, but one thing we're doing this year that's different from last school year is we're getting ready to have a big color fun run.
Oh.
So the kids are going to, it's a fundraising event, so the kids will, you know, get donations, sponsors to sponsor them for this run. And they'll get an opportunity to run around our track outside, and there'll be different stations along the track where they get sprayed with a color slime. So it's like a liquid slime that they get. So they get super messy. They get a white shirt so that they can get messy in it. They'll wear messy clothes. And it's all to raise money just for our school to be able to put on some amazing events for families, parents going into, you know, next year.
Yeah, I can say I think for those kids, that's going to last them forever, their whole life, because I went to Westside Elementary, and I remember I started their third grade, obviously till fifth, but after, like, kind of during this time, right, end of the year, they would throw this, like, kind of like field day, if you will.
Yes.
They'd have people come out and, like, put out bounce houses, like, pools and slides and all that stuff. And
we have one 24. Here, the 27th, coming up.
And there you go.
Yeah, it's one of the highlights of the year.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, something I noticed is kind of random, but you're talking about the field, and I just visually, I picture, you know, Westside Elementary's field. I mean, dang, they have some land.
They do. They really do.
But then I also think of Matthias.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that whole, I don't really know the property lines, but I mean, if you just look at it, it almost seems like it has, I mean, it's probably.
Yeah.
If I had to put a number on it, it seems it's almost 10 acres.
Wow.
I might be, is it five?
We're gonna have to look at county records.
I'm curious. Yeah, county records. Okay.
Yeah, we can figure it out.
I might say 5 to 10 acres of just backyard land space is what I think. Because someone was telling me that one kind of these newer subdivisions, like a house is a quarter.
Not even that. It's less. It's like 0.14.
So then I think of like
land.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's real itty bitty nowadays with at least new construction. Some of them are still doing like 0.30 every once in a while. They'll sell them with an acre, but it's real small now.
And so I think of it kind of like that. And I think, okay, so that's four houses with including their front and backyard. Maybe five houses would be 1 acre in my mind, right? So I'm like, I'm like, dude, there's going to be like 40 houses over there. And that's like, that's a lot of land. But anyways, Matthias, Westside, Grace Hill, I think, is maybe not as much.
Yeah, I don't think our land is as big.
But
one thing we always do for field day that's super fun is we have the fire department always comes out with the big fire hose.
Nice.
And they get it going and the kids get to play in the water.
That's cool.
And it is a lot of fun.
That's cool. That's cool, you know.
Yeah, I think those events are, like I said, it'll last them forever.
It's just
the
memories. Yeah,
it's the memories. Yeah,
absolutely.
Do parents come on those days too?
Yeah, we have a lot of parents come volunteer. Some of them come, you know, just helping us out. We have great parents.
That's cool. I think that is very memorable. Earlier, we were talking about how you went to school for, I think it's a public relations, right? And then you, and then, you know, you went into education, but then you said that you were surprised to, in a way, surprised to learn that you basically almost use that on
I
the daily.
I do. I use it all the time.
So what is another thing that has surprised you from being in this role, you know, being a principal?
Really just, I would say surprising maybe is, I mean, education has changed a lot.
Ooh,
you know,
that's
back,
so good.
You know, back when I was a kid, testing wasn't as big of a thing. Like, we didn't test as much. I remember we did take tests, but they weren't until probably after third grade. And now there's just a lot more emphasis on accountability for schools to help kids grow. And the way they measure that is through test scores. And so you kind of have to balance, you know, we want kids to understand the platform and how to take the test, but you don't want to be, you know, we're trying to go beyond just building test takers. We want kids to be problem solvers. We want them to be creative, innovative, sure, that kind of thing. So keeping that forefront, like how are we helping grow these kids for their future jobs, careers, mm-hmm, you know, life beyond school. Just keeping that balance, even when it feels heavy on the accountability side with legislation and that kind of thing, has definitely been a shift.
I can see that. I can see that definitely in, over the years that has been a big change towards testing and seeing how the kids do.
What kind of challenges do you think you run into with students, at least when it comes to all that testing?
I definitely think we have to keep in mind as teachers and as administrators that there's real testing anxiety. You know, I had testing. I still remember like sitting down to take a test and you'd get testing anxiety. So letting them know, like, you've got this. We've prepared for this. We've worked towards this. You've got this. And you know what? It doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. A test score is not going to define any one person. There's so much more to a kid than a number and a test score.
Absolutely.
And so we have to remember to keep in mind to look at the whole child and look at growing them as a whole human, not just this one day, one test. I mean, a kid can have a bad day and come in and maybe not do well. And that's still okay.
Yeah, I like that. Mm. Yeah, I remember I was in middle school. I think it was either sixth or seventh grade. So I'm Hispanic, right? And I think the reason they do this is because I think they put me down as Spanish as my first language. Correct me if I'm
wrong. Yes, no, you're correct. It's for when parents come in.
Was it ESL? Is that what it is? Or?
Yeah, so when parents come in, they fill out a home language survey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of what every school has to do.
So yeah, I had to do every year
since
I could remember that exam. And I remember one year I just did not want to take it.
Yeah.
I think I spent maybe like 2 or 3 hours outside of the testing room with this. I don't even know who this person was, but they were just trying to convince me this and that.
Yeah.
They were like, this is the last year you'll take it. If you pass it, you don't have to take it. And so I was like, okay, fine. If I don't got to take it next year. Anyway, come next year, I got to take it again.
I think that's just what I want. Legislators, if they listen to this podcast, just to hear like, there's challenges with that. And anytime legislators make a decision and they're not in the trenches seeing the impact, you just have to be careful with that, mm-hmm, because making decisions from sitting at a desk there trickles down and really has an impact on people all the way down to the student.
Mm-hmm. Do you think being kind of conscious of what can affect not just students, right, but, you know, team members, faculty, mm-hmm, et cetera, do you think that is a good quality for a great school leader? And if so, what other traits do you think go along with that?
Definitely. I mean, I think an administrator's biggest jobs, right, is to kind of be that buffer for teachers so that they can be, their instructional time can be protected and they can have the biggest impact they can on kids. And if you're not acting as that buffer to them, then that stuff does trickle down and have an impact. Yeah, definitely.
You know, going back to that question, I think that's a great question, Enrique, the qualities that make a great school leader. Mm-hmm. And I think of that as a teacher as well. And Christina, please, I'd love to just hear some insight of when you have a vacancy, right? A teacher is leaving, right, or you have to hire a teacher, or, you know, things like that. What are some things that you look for, if you can say?
I have this and I'm going to kind of refer to it. So we, as a team here at Grace Hill, we came up with our core values, like what are the things that we believe in? And it really shapes like how we as teachers behave in a school. And those are, we believe that kids come first. Like in our interview, we intentionally ask questions to get to the heart of the people we're interviewing, or these candidates, do they believe truly that kids come first? And what, you know, evidence in their answers and their responses do you have that they're gonna do what's best for kids, right? We believe all students can learn at high levels. So we have kids that come in and speak no English, as you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
We have kids that come back from backgrounds of trauma. And we cannot lower our expectation just because of those barriers, right? Mm-hmm. We have to keep our expectations high for kids, but come alongside them to help them reach that. The reality is our kids are going to be competing with kids on the other side of town who maybe don't have those struggles, right?
That's right.
And so it is our job, though, to break those ceilings away from kids so that we don't put a ceiling on them by lowering our expectations. They need to have the options when they graduate to say, you know what, if I want to go to college, I'm going to college. Mm-hmm. If I want to go straight to the workforce, I'm going to the workforce. If I want to go into the military, I can do that. Mm. And if we start lowering expectations, even at the elementary level, you suddenly start putting caps on what kids' options are when they graduate. And that's not fair.
I like that. I think a lot of them tend to forget how impressionable children can be. I mean, just something as small as like putting a cap on what they can do now, that can have a huge effect on them
right
when they're an adult.
Absolutely. Mm. And they don't even know it.
Yeah.
So you have a kid that tells you no at elementary. Well, if you accept the no and you don't push them to do hard things that they don't believe yet that they can do, then you've limited them.
Yeah.
Wow. Very good. I like that. I like Grace Hill. You guys are the Huskies, correct?
Yeah.
I'm a dog Huskies person. So already Grace Hill is one of my favorites, and let alone for that. But now
you got to get a dog number.
Man, dog I'm trying, home. Man. For, you know, I got to negotiate.
You got to negotiate for the wife.
Yeah. Just for a while, he was a dog sitting for one of his friends. Cutest dog. Dog
Oh my gosh.
So cute. And he like fell in love with
you. So you don't have kids yet, right? Am I correct about that? No. Okay. But so I can get a dog before you have children. Man. Like it's like you have to, that's like the, you have to take that step before you have a kid.
I was thinking about, well, and I think I can say this because I think this will air in possibly like two months or so, but my wife and I were expecting. So
you are now get a dog.
That's there you go. Here, honey, 4 months pregnant. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I have not shared too much, but I think because it's still recent,
or,
you know, a couple months, but I will be in these next few weeks. But yeah,
so exciting. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're gonna make an amazing dad.
Oh, I appreciate
you'll be
that.
A better dad if you can get that dog first.
Oh, thank you. See.
Just
there you go. There you go. I love it. I love it. So, you know, we were talking earlier about school. It seems like this event that you were talking about holding with the community and the fire truck coming on the school. What will we call those events?
Like multicultural. Typically call it Multicultural Diversity Night. It's just a celebration. We live in a super diverse community.
Yes.
And I don't know that people. Some people may not even acknowledge or even realize that, but we live in just a beautiful community that represents all cultures.
Yes.
And I think that is the strength of our community too, is that we are so diverse. You know, I am so glad that my kids go to school in a community where they get to experience different cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it makes them better humans.
Yeah.
It makes them, you know, just have a better understanding of the world, really.
I think that this Northwest Arkansas area definitely has I call it recipe, you know, because you know, but it's a good recipe of for the community, you know, from the amenities that we have to offer, the schooling, that are, how does this plight? Women about public and all the events the community puts on and all these number of things.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, school leaders like yourself who really instill that into their staff and the students and everything. So I feel like a lot of people, a lot of families get to enjoy that type of environment or culture here, and it just adds to it. So I love this area.
I totally agree.
You know, but going back to that event, you know, is one of your, it seems like that might be one of the most favorite events in or traditions in the school year.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to call it a tradition. We've done three of them, but it's definitely becoming a thing now that has just gotten bigger every time we've done it.
Do the kids start asking? Are we doing this?
Oh,
do they?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
And so anytime we open our doors in the evenings to families, I mean, they come, especially when there's food.
Oh,
you have that's good true. Food, people come.
Oh, for sure.
That's funny. That is pretty good.
Do you usually do food trucks or do you usually cater? What's kind
of it depends. So we have done food trucks for the multicultural nights, but other times we'll just order like pizza. Sometimes we'll have we have a really good partnership with Acambaro. A big shout out to Acambaro. Yeah. We actually two of their daughters work here. So we have a teacher that's one of the family members, and we have an assistant. that's one of the family members. And so they do a great job of just really helping us out with those events.
That's so cool. Yeah. I like that. Nice. So what is another event or tradition that you guys look forward to each year? You know, I know summer's a big one, right?
That yeah.
Summer, last day of school, yeah. We're out of here.
Yeah.
But I'm curious.
Enrique mentioned Field Day.
Oh, Field Day.
Is okay. a huge thing
okay.
that we do every year. In the fall, next year, we have not done this yet, we're going to do something called One Book, One School. And I know a lot of schools in our community do One Book, One School. So every kid will get a copy of Charlotte's Web. Did you guys read that as a kid?
Yeah.
And they'll get to, we'll read it as a school. So they'll have different chapters that they read at home as a family each night. And then we're going to have a big event here, like a hoedown with a petting, like a farm animal petting zoo and some other things going on for families.
Oh, so they get to come into the,
come into the school and we'll have all kinds of like fun activities around the book.
It's like we're living the book.
You're coming into the book. That is very cool.
It'll be fun.
I like that. What's another book that they might do where that would be really good?
So we have, I mean, this will be our first year to do it, but I know another school in our community has done, The Wild Robot, which is also made into a movie.
Oh,
now.
Yes.
The Wild Robot.
I've not seen it, but I can picture,
yeah.
I think the cover of the movie or whatever.
The Wild Robot. I don't think I'm familiar with this.
Yeah. Okay. It's. I have not read it or seen it, but I've heard really good things. Okay. And there was a kid in the office the other day that walked by to say hi, and he had the book, and it was a great book.
It's cool.
It's got good ratings for the movie. Rotten Tomatoes. Famously known for being harsh on movies, they give it a 96%.
Oh, wow. So that's pretty good. Yeah.
I feel probably in the next few years, I'll be watching a lot of kid movies.
So. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is always a question that when it comes to education, you know, I think the district is obviously a huge factor into how we get to, I would say not work, but how we act in the school, because it's from the leadership from above, right?
Right.
So what makes Rogers Public Schools stand out compared to other districts if we have worked at other districts?
Yeah. I love this district, and it's not only as a parent, as an administrator here, but as a parent too. One of the things I love about this district is it's a large district, but it still feels very family, community oriented. And you can go into any school and you just get this feeling of like family, of community. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Last year when we had the tornado, that was rough. You know, school ended early. We had a lot of destruction in the area.
Yep.
And just this community, our superintendent was on the front lines. He opened the doors of Rogers High School as kind of a beacon of hope for families that didn't have anywhere to go to stay. You know, because finding hotels, rentals became nearly impossible in this area.
That's true.
Cleanup, I mean, just he mobilized cleanup efforts around the community to get the job done. And I don't know that that would happen in another community. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
remember that. I remember that time.
Yep. Just incredible. And that camaraderie, the people coming together. I had damage at my house and he sent a whole team of people to my house to help clean up with chainsaws. It was just incredible.
Dr. Perry, right?
Dr. Perry.
Shout out to Dr. Perry.
Yeah.
There it is.
Amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. I love to hear stuff like that.
Yeah. It's always having or hearing these stories, about experiences with our district and our county in general. I think it's refreshing for me, especially since we're a community here in the area.
Right.
And so hearing these experiences firsthand, for me, it's always almost a blessing, if you will, to know that we're in an area that's possible.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, now with school choice kind of opening up the doors, like parents have choices. They can choose where to send their kids to school. And I think, you know, when you come to Rogers, you're getting the best of a lot. So
I believe that. I believe that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So you've been here at the school. How long have you been with Grace Hill?
I'm just finishing my sixth year.
Your sixth year here. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So 6 years here with the team and then the school. Do you have any proud moments that you've had with your team here recently or during your whole time? And if you would, give a shout out to them?
Or? We have worked really hard on moving the school forward with student achievement. You know, we're high poverty, high English language learners, just a, you know, high needs school. Mm-hmm. And when I started here 6 years ago, you know, we were struggling in some areas. And one of the things the state does is they grade you on a report card. So every school gets a letter grade, A through A, B, C, D, or F, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've worked really hard over the last few years to really bring our letter grade up. And letter grades are not public this year yet.
Sure.
So I cannot disclose what our letter grade is publicly, but I will say we're very proud of our hard work and how much movement we've made.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
it.
Cool, cool. Yeah.
Can you share what it was before?
I can. Okay. When I came 6 years ago, we were a D.
Okay.
And we have we went up to a C, and we're hoping for a B this year, and we're really, really proud of where we landed this year.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So when would this announcement, is it made like public? Is it through the school website?
I don't know when the state's going to release that officially to the public. I do know we kind of were given a period this year. We switched the type of testing that we're doing. So we were taking one type of assessment. Now we've switched to another. And because of that, I think they're still trying to figure out, kind of give a grace period to the changeover. Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Makes sense. You know,
okay.
But definitely released some information to administrators so we'd kind of know where we stand, that kind of thing.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I know we'll be looking forward to
seeing that. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, essentially everyone that joins up that gives us their time on the podcast is like family, you know.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You guys are the new in-laws. You
know, yeah.
You guys are part of this podcast family forever.
Yeah.
So we would stay in touch, and we always want the best, you know, for our guests, you know.
For sure.
And we always take a moment in this podcast to give allow our guests to give a shout out to anyone in their team, their friends, their family, staff member, whatever it might be, to just highlight them as well, right? Sometimes our guests might think of somebody that's impact them or that really helps them that maybe don't get it a lot, or just, you know, again, just something that comes to mind. And then we also add this disclosure as well. That's disclosure. It. Disclosure. You know, if your name doesn't, if the guest or someone doesn't get named or so, we don't mean this in a bad way. You know, sometimes it's just more for fun or care, whatever it might be. But if there's somebody that you want to give a shout out to, who would that be?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, the growth, just where I've been in my career, you know, where we all got to the place we are by relying on somebody. We didn't get there alone.
That is true.
So definitely my parents, huge cheerleaders for me growing up and just always believing in me. But also, I'll give a shout out, and she's retiring this year, Anita Turner, principal at Northside.
Yes.
I was an assistant principal under her, and just her mentorship has meant the world to me. Just grown. Dr. Hill, Roger Hill, he's the human resource director for the district. Just an amazing man of character. Dr. Perry. Definitely my husband, because he's been with me through the, you know, the pitfalls of the job and the highs, the lows, and everything in between, and just sticking it out through the bad and the good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Amazing. Miss Turner's very cool. Shout out to her and everyone that you said. That's amazing. We love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good old husband. Shout out to your husband. What's your husband's name?
Josh Meister.
Josh Meister. Yeah. Shout out to Josh Meister.
Yeah.
Shout out to
and Josh. If you ever need an attorney, he's a good one.
Ah, yes, that's correct. Yeah, he's an
attorney. Okay, what's the spiel for Josh for his service?
So he does probably about 30% of his work is criminal defense.
Okay.
But he does a little bit of everything. Adoptions, wills, trust, divorce, custody, a little bit of everything.
Okay. Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. Is. Yep.
I love it.
Josh Meister.
Yes.
Where is his office located?
It's downtown Rogers off of 2nd Street.
Okay.
Oh, so nice.
Kind of in the heart of downtown.
Okay. Yeah.
Stop by and take a selfie.
Yeah. Hey, Meister McCracken Law Firm. I'll give them a shout out.
There it is. Cool.
Love it. Well, speaking about downtown Rogers a little bit, something we do on this podcast is we also love to highlight the area we're in. You know, we love NWA. We love what we're about, how we are, the diversity we have that you've touched on a little bit.
Right.
So let's say you have family members, you say from Stillwater?
My family originally from like Oklahoma City area.
Okay. Oklahoma City. So let's say you have family members that have never been here before, yep. or friends. What do you tell them about NWA when they're here the first time?
Man, we normally go on some kind of a trail. Like, it can be like Kohler in Bentonville is amazing. They have that airship coffee right on the trail. You can stop at. They have like open air swings you can sit on. Yep. It's amazing.
Yep.
So we definitely do that. Crystal Bridges is always a favorite. The museum there and then the trails there. Lake Atalanta up here at the park and just walking around the lake is definitely a highlight. And then anytime we can get on the river, which is a little bit further out, but like the Kings River is one of our go-to places to float.
Kings River, I would agree. They
have great kayaking spots and really, really fun.
Float trips are always mentioned, I think, when you want to think about them.
Dude, they're fun.
A good float trip is...
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
You have to have solid relationships with the people you go with, because I've seen many a people end in some kind of a fight at the end, like dating couples and that kind of thing, because their canoe flipped or, you know, they had a little bit of a struggle on the river, but it is a great time.
I remember we went with maybe a couple of years at this point, went to Elk River, and my fiance and her brothers and her parents and her brothers, my friends. Well, I think it was just super dry that year.
Yeah.
Because we just kept getting stuck. It felt like every 5 minutes. So we had to get out and just like drag everything.
Definitely look at the water levels before you go.
Yeah. We had that experience, but it's still a great time.
Yeah. My friends, it is. It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Oh, man. Dragging on when your float trip sucks.
Oh, it was hot. Like, it was hardly any water.
That's when the crankiness sets in and people start arguing and getting mad at each other. So,
bathroom break. Very true. I will never forget one of the first float. This is like notorious. This is just a story I tell so much. Wear sunscreen to begin with, for sure. But I remember my dad was visiting from California and we went out to the Buffalo River. I was so excited to take him. Beautiful. Yeah. First time I had been there, but just generally, you know, the notorious Buffalo River. So we get there, it's a beautiful day and, you know, it's water levels perfect. Sun is out perfect, everything. And get on the river and, you know, have a beer or so down, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, oh, just take off my shirt. It's so hot. Whatever. Going down the river an hour or two later, I'm like, and every now and then I'll throw some water on my back because it's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Man, by the time, you know, did the whole day. By the time I got home, I couldn't sleep on my back for 3 days.
Because I had some kind of second or third degree.
I would agree. For 3 days, I couldn't sleep on my back. It was so red. And I'm, you know, my dad kept, hey, you know, it's like, are you okay? You can put some sunscreen. I'm like, no, it's good. It doesn't even hurt.
Yeah.
Just throw some water on the back, you know. And I swear those 3 days.
Famous last words, right?
Yeah. Those 3 days at home was just terrible. I was just sleeping on my stomach for those days. It was funny. It's learning experience. Wear your sunscreen. Now I just wear a shirt, you know, long sleeve, you know, like water shirt or whatever. But I think that was always going to be one of my favorite stories. Yeah, we had a great time on the river, but I also was like, is anyone else hot? You know, back's all burning and everything. But Christina, what's one of these hidden gems that most people don't know about here in Arkansas or here in this north of Arkansas area?
Okay, so we love, my husband and I love food, all types of food.
Speaking of my language.
So we love going out and trying new local restaurants, that kind of thing. One of my favorites has become Casa Alejo in downtown Rogers. I don't know if anyone's been there. It's great. Just the atmosphere's great. The food, the drinks, it's all great. And then Blue in downtown Rogers is a sushi restaurant. It's actually the old fire station. They've converted it into a restaurant and they're going to be expanding, but they're one of our favorites. We go there probably on a weekly basis. and we really love Ozark Brewery.
Oh, Ozark Brewery. Yep.
And they have great food trucks there too.
They do. They do. Yeah. Ozark Brewery. What does that remind me of? I don't know. Great place. Great place.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. One of my favorite for sure.
One more I thought of is City Pump. So City Pump, it's under new, they have new owners and they've just done a great job. They've had some live music going on out there recently. Lots of great options for food trucks and it's just family friendly. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
One of our previous guests, Patrick Pulliam, he had one of his patio socials there.
That is correct.
It was fairly recent. I don't know how long.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's great because they have the outdoor space that you can sit outside, but they have indoor space for like bad weather. mm-hmm. and just, it's just a good time.
Mm, I like that a lot. Enrique, how about you? What's some of your hidden gems here?
Hidden gems? I don't know too many, but I mention this place all the time. It's not Taco Bell. Everybody knows about Taco Bell. It's there in downtown Rogers. At any time I'm craving breakfast or just like a mom and pop shop environment, I'll go to Westerner's Grill.
Oh yeah,
there in downtown Rogers.
Yeah,
our friends own that. Actually, one of the guys, he's in our community group. He's coming to my house tonight.
Is he actually?
Yeah, Jack. Jack.
Look at that smile. Debner.
Yeah,
I love it there. Yeah, it's so good there. Yeah.
You know, shout out already to, you said it was Jack?
Yeah.
Shout out to Jack, just because Peddler's Pub was our first restaurant. I remember when I said this on the episode, I said, I remember when I started this podcast, or even when I was just sitting in my living room thinking of an idea, and I said, who could I get on my podcast?
Yeah.
And I did think of a few teachers and mm-hmm. principals and so, but I was like, Peddler's Pub.
Yeah.
Was like immediately one of the first people. Mm-hmm. It's always anyone that comes to visit us, we'll take them to Peddler's Pub, and they love the food. And I was like, man, if I could just get, the mayor of Pea Ridge hooked it up. So thank you, Nathan, for putting us, connecting us. So, hey, I'm sure Enrique would appreciate the plug.
Oh, for sure.
For West.
So on a note that's not food related.
Sure.
The Rail Yard in downtown Rogers, it looks like a mini version of the Amp, the music Amp.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So they start doing live concerts, I believe, this weekend.
I was like, very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally free to the community. Yep. You can go out. They have all different kinds of live music set up throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
They used to let you bring like your own ice chest, chairs, that kind of thing out there. It's fun.
That's true. Yeah. The Rail Yard does put on free. Mm-hmm. Basically summer concerts.
I'll do that with my in-laws and in-laws, my fiance. Yeah. We'll go together every summer.
Yeah,
we'll do
that, so. That's a lot of fun.
Does Roger still do the Frisco Festival? Remember back in the day?
They do, I believe.
I forget it all the time.
I haven't seen anything, but I'm sure they still do.
Frisco Fest. I remember that.
Yeah. Back in the day, you used to go to like downtown Rogers and.
Yeah, I remember that too.
It was usually in the evening, I think.
Yeah.
It would be like vendors and I remember going as a high school kid and just kind of walking around, and it was just at night. It was mm-hmm. cool, but. Yeah. We kind of touched on our favorite spots and some hidden gems. So really what leaves us now is the question from our previous guest. And
yes.
Of course. So the question that was left from Kevin was, what is your favorite mountain bike trail or greenway trail? I think we can kind of expand that question. So I
kind of mentioned it earlier, was Kohler Creek. It's a great area. First of all, I love coffee. So anytime you can do a little exercising, but then stop and get a drink on the trail, it's great. So that is definitely one of my go-to spots. And they have a beautiful creek along the trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice trail. That's a nice one there. Yeah, go in the evening. And mm-hmm. even if you're just by yourself, honestly.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have the musical bridge there. I don't know if you've walked across it. You walk in it, and it's like you hear. Yep. It's just the way the wind, I think, moves through it.
Maybe I just haven't noticed. Maybe I'm not paying attention enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I always wondered: is it really the wind, or is there speakers?
I think there's speakers under it. Now that you say that, originally I'm like, oh, that's really cool. But then wait a minute. I think there's speaker under this.
Because I'm like, man, it's really consistent. Like how?
Yeah. I think there is a speaker, but you know what? People coming don't have to know that.
Very true.
It's a wonderful musical bridge.
I wouldn't be surprised. Walmart did some.
I hope it didn't ruin anyone's experience.
thinking it's real.
No, it is very cool. So I would say, the great. I love how if you go towards the coffee shop, if you go away from the coffee shop, it takes you to Best Friends. Kind of have to go up the hill and then kind of...
You're talking about the dog, like the rescue facility. It's a really...
Yeah, shout out to Best Friends because you can basically go there and they also have a coffee shop there as well.
That's where you can get your dog.
I would love to. But you can also, if you didn't know, you can actually do like a take the dog for the day out.
Oh,
yeah. I don't want to say rent a dog because you can rent a dog because it's one, it's free. So you, it's not like that works. But basically, you can go into the facility and take the dog and take it out. On a walk. No, you can take it home with you. You can take it to the park, take it out for the day, and then bring it back before they close.
That's okay. So sad. I feel heartbroken every time having to take that
dog. I mean, hey, but in that, they still enjoy it for the day. Yeah. Even if they don't get home, they can go.
Yeah.
But I get you.
It is a really nice facility. It's not like a. Yes. It's not like a pound or anything.
It's a very nice feeling. Yeah. Good. That's another actually hidden gem that I take my family to, pet dogs and cats all day.
Yeah.
So yes, Christina, what is the question left for our next guest?
I've been thinking about this. I wrote one down. So here's my question. What is something that you were most impressed with in our Northwest Arkansas community? So something you're most impressed with in our Northwest Arkansas community.
I like that question.
Good one. That's a very good question. I love it.
There's so much that can
There's
be said.
There's so much.
Yeah. So it's an easy answer.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Juan Carlos?
Do you have an answer to it?
I will say I go with the, I don't know how you call this, mannerism maybe.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of community, I just think of people. Like my mind thinks immediately to people. And then I think of what about this area? About the people. And I think wherever I go, everyone's just really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that impresses me because you go to other cities and immediately that's not the case. No, like people don't look at you in the eye. Don't look at you, just walk right by you.
Yeah.
Don't hold the door for you. You don't really want to strike up a conversation with anyone at a restaurant or so forth. Or everyone's trying to flex on you or whatever, you know, in these bigger cities. And it's I just want to talk to somebody, you know, or get something from a local in a way. And I feel like every time I go out somewhere in town at a store or something, you can really just talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And you can make a silly joke. Yeah. I do this all the time. If I'm at a grocery store and someone grabs a can, I'll be like, oh, that's the one I wanted. And pretend like I'm going to grab it. And then next, you know, they like are genuinely laughing and I'm like, oh, I'm just kidding, you know, or I might be like, are you following me? Or, you know, and then it just kind of goes that way, you know? And I think in a bigger city, that's just like, bro, you're weird. Yeah. Don't even talk to me, you know? So anyways, to me, that's most impressed by. But the reason I said, oh, that's maybe somewhat of an easier question. Cause you remember the question that John Rex left Furman. He's like, what can we make the city the opportunity for what's an opportunity for Northwest Arkansas? And then Furman was like, thanks, John, for the hard question.
Yeah.
I like the question.
Yeah. So Christina, if you remember Furman from last year's, what's the word?
Wall of Distinction.
Yeah. His episode releases this Friday.
Okay. I will definitely listen to
that. Yeah. So that was a fun episode. That's why it was so in my mind. I was like, oh, because I'm editing it right now and I'm laughing.
There you go.
Yeah. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good.
But Christina, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. This has been really fun. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, we really appreciate that feedback. You know, we try to make it fun. We try to make it genuine and fun for our audience, fun for each other. This is such a passion project for Enrique and I. And, you know, the idea of this is that people listen and now there's a connection to Grace Hill, right? There's a connection to you. Like this is the Christina's the principal of Grace Hill and I love my child going here or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it just connects us to the community a little bit more so they can get to know us more is really what this whole mission is. So thank you for your time. And Enrique, of course, every time, thank you for your time too.
Yeah, you know, time for us, is me especially, I think it's not just me, right? But time is super valuable. So thank you again for taking time out of your day to sit with us after hours here at the school. We appreciate you letting us
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
So, but folks, and again, thank you for your time for tuning in. Just thank you for just following us. Please, if this podcast really hits home with you, we'd love for you guys to share and follow us on social media. You know, our Instagram handles, So NWA Podcast. Besides that, guys, have a great day and we'll talk to you soon.